what a God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, what a great God. He is in this house. He's at this place. And I want to say that from the get-go, I have enjoyed myself immensely. Count it a high honor to be a part of this very, 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 very special occasion. And I don't take it lightly. It's always an honor to be anywhere with anything having to do with our great God. But not all moments are created equal. And this is a very, very special series of services. And we're all blessed to be here. We're all so blessed to be here. While we're standing, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 3. Thank you, Brother Motes, for the invitation, the wonderful quarters, the gift basket. Everything has been awesome, the food, the fellowship. And to both Brother Holmeses, thank you for the word of the Lord you brought us. Very, very, very special. And Pastor Nathan Holmes did last night talk about this place. And that's not my title, but I'm going to be talking about this place tonight. Praise God. It's good to see these. My good friend, Brother Frost, God bless him, from Bakersfield, and the great stock he came from, Brother I.H. Terry. Most special people in my world. And all these preachers, my goodness, I actually know most of you, praise God. And it's an honor to see you, so good. Brother Tipton, don't give up on me. I love you very, very, very much. And it's good to see Brother Flowers, but it's better to see his wife, praise God, because she's a Rialtoite. And if you've gone through the school of Bloomington / Rialto, then you got stories, praise God. And so happy that they're here. Everybody that's here. Isn't this a beautiful accomplishment? So neat. Beautiful. And the thing about God, he's always just getting started. Always, always. He will never allow a yesterday to outdo a tomorrow. Ever, ever. The increase of his government will know no end, ever. I don't even know what to do with that, but it's there. Well, you're standing, and I'm going to read the word of the Lord. 1 Timothy 3, beginning at verse number 14. Paul writing to his son in the gospel, Timothy. He said, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." And the reason he's talking to his son in the gospel, who was accomplished minister, and Paul has already referred to him as an apostle. But the reason it's so important that we know how to behave ourselves in the house of God is because the house of God is so important. This is how important it is, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That's a big statement. What that means is, this is the most important thing going anywhere in planet Earth. This is the pillar and ground of the truth of the living God. Let's pray and ask that God would touch our every heart and have his perfect way tonight. We're so mindful of you, Jesus. You are so great and gracious. We're in awe of you, God. We are so in awe of you. We love you, Jesus. We love you with everything that's in us. You're so kind, God. You're so good, God. We thank you for this occasion, for your grace. Minister graciously to every heart, soul, mind. We commit this service as we're going to commit this church into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. Bless you so very, very, very much. We've already mentioned, and it's been mentioned through the course of these meetings, that what is taking place here is of exceeding great importance. The city of Hot Springs, the surrounding area, they are unaware, but I assure you, every angel that God has committed to this portion of this planet, and I can double assure you, every devil that is hooked up to these areas are very, 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 very much aware of these services and the import of them. It's huge beyond anything we can describe or think. We will only know in eternity how important these moments are, because they're a portent of the progress of this church, which is already, by so many scales, done so well. But here we are on the 11th year, and to be able to celebrate an accomplishment like this is truly something. Trust me, it is truly, truly something. I will tell you this, aside from prayer, preaching of the Word of God, the truth, people loving it, embracing it, living it, amen, giving themselves and their goods to it, it wouldn't be here. And I'll tell you something else, it wouldn't be here if you had a lazy pastor. It would not be here with a lazy pastor. And this is a hard working man. Last night when we were seated, I said, is there any plans for today? And I was hoping he would say, not a thing, except for tonight. And I said, is there any plans for the day? And he said, would you like to go to lunch? Would you like to do this? And I said, no. And I could not help but think that surely you enjoyed today. Surely you enjoyed today. But you were probably down here doing something. Anyway, I know these wonderful people were, and God bless you so much. So this is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Whenever there is a one God, Jesus name, apostolic church anywhere on this earth, and to be apostolic, it has to be holiness, or it's not apostolic. That's just the way it is. You can put all kinds of names on it, but it has to be. Amen. And so whether it's in a village area, amen, town, or major city, it is the most important thing going in that area. Now, in what is the most important of all parables, at least to me, we find it in the book of Luke, chapter 10. Now, in chapter 15, he talks about the woman that lost one of the coins, one of the ten coins, and then talks about the sheep that was lost of the 99, 100, one sheep went astray, and then about the prodigal son. And those are talking about three different kinds of people. The sheep was lost, knew it was lost, had no way to get home, didn't know how to get home. The lost coin was lost, did not know it was lost. There's people like that. They don't even know that they're lost. And then there's the prodigal son who was lost, knew he was lost, and knew the way back home. Amen. But what Luke gives us here, Jesus gives us, I think, the parable of all parables about a certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it was already mentioned, the above sea level height of Jerusalem compared to the 1,400 feet below area of the Dead Sea and Jericho. So when this man left Jerusalem and then began to make his way to the lowest spot on earth, he's a type of mankind. When man fell from the Garden of Eden, that was the highest pinnacle of peace, beauty. I can't even imagine. It would have been so neat. Oh, I wish I could have pastored in the Garden of Eden. We could have got by with one service a week in the Garden of Eden. And all you'd have to do is get up and say, okay, nobody touch that tree over yonder. Everything else is a go. We'll see you next week, praise God. That would have been really neat. But man has sought out many inventions, and it keeps you busy. You understand that keeps you busy. And I'm going to make this statement. This isn't a downer. I don't mean it to be a downer. To all of you young ministers coming up, and I want you to know, I am impressed, not with all, but I am impressed with a large number of young ministers I'm watching come up in this generation. They've got the bit in their mouth. They love this truth. They love righteousness. They've seen enough folly, and they're ready to do business. And I thank God for every one of them. I mean that with everything that is in me. Praise God. So my hat's off to you. And you're going to face stuff we never dreamed of. You're going to deal with situations that just caused the mind to spin. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has the answers. And every answer is here. Listen, it's here. It's here. It's here. Keep swimming. Keep digging. Keep praying. Amen. He's going to walk you through. Furthermore, in all of this complications and messes people are getting themselves into, I'm going to tell you something. There are people that are so miserable they cannot see straight. You hear me. And they may be some of the most virulent. They may be some of the most vocal. They may be some of the most adamantine in their outlooks. But I'm telling you, they go home at night and they feel like hell itself. And some of those people we're going to see at our altars, repenting, being filled with the Holy Ghost. And you talk about on fire for God. Not all, it never has been, but there'll be some. Amen. And as cruel, as tempestuous, as vitriolic, as cold-blooded as Saul of Tarsus was, so he became a light that shined to this day of somebody that when he got a hold of this truth, he'd die for it 1,000 times over. Didn't bother him. No. Well, there's still people out there like that. And the only reason this church is still here is because there's still folks to be saved. I'm just telling you. That's why we're here. That is why we are here. Amen. And when that job's done, we'll be out of here. But till we're here, there's souls to be saved. God knows who they are and where they are. So we go forward. And you just never know. They may be 4 boys or 5 boys or 10. Or how many, I don't know how many Adam's boys there is, really. But your brother Joseph preached for us last night in Rialto, and they said he burned the barn. Amen. And when these boys were little, who would have thought? And I'm telling you, it's that way around this nation. Who would have thought? What they need is to sink their teeth in this pillar and ground of the truth. It's the most important thing there is. And so this parable is this long, sad saga of man leaving the high point of the Garden of Eden, as it were, and making its way down, falling among thieves to the lowest parts of the earth. And the thieves, the bitter thieves of sin, the thieves of demonry, the thieves of a fallen angel that hates God and every angel that stayed true and hates every child of God because we condemn him so bad. He was created holy. He was created pure. That was his first estate. He left that first estate. So God, you like darkness? He chained him to the darkness. Well, we were conceived in darkness. In sin, we were conceived. In shame, we were as likely to get in trouble as the sparks of a fire fly upwards. But we looked around after a while and said, devil, you can have this darkness. For me and my house, we're headed to the light. We're going out of this darkness into his marvelous light. And you talk about throwing a spin on him. That's the reason when Job worshiped God, when he rent his garment, shaved his head, fell on his face, and heaven and hell were waiting to see what would come out of his mouth. And he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the angels shouted. Hell had a fit. And it's the same to this day. So here's this man wounded. He's half alive. The Bible says he's half dead. He's half alive. He's alive in body, but that's it. That's the condition people are in. But and there's religions. The world's full of all kinds of religions. And the priest passed by and the Levite passed by and they didn't want to get too close. And then there was a hated Samaritan. Have you ever noticed people either love Jesus or they just, there's a, you know what the number one curse word is in America now? As of about 10 years ago. The name of Jesus Christ is now the number one curse word in the English speaking world. How many times did he hear it in Hot Springs? Today. Amen. That's why he likes to come to church. Because we got nothing but good to say about him. Oh, we love your name, Jesus. We're thankful for your name. We're glad all that you do for your name's sake. We're glad we took on your name. You worked for us for your name's sake, if nothing else. Oh, we love that name. Because it was that world-hated good Samaritan that stopped by your house and my house, my life and your life. And he came to us in our pitiful condition. And he bound up our wounds and he poured in oil, his name is as ointment poured forth, and wine of the Holy Ghost. And he put us on his own beast of burden, which was a donkey, which was a type of mercy. It was the only animal that had to be redeemed. If you didn't redeem it, you broke its neck. It was a type of mercy, and we carried him on mercy. And guess where he took him? He took him to an inn. That's what we're fixing to dedicate tonight. This is the inn. He took him to the inn. Now, the inn... And in, you've got me in Hilton Doubletree. That's a nice inn. Yeah, I really like it. I don't want to live there. But if I was going to be in Hot Springs and I had to be in an inn, I think I'd like that. But we're just passing through. This is a nice inn. Yours is a very nice inn. But we're leaving them all. We're fixing to build a new inn ourselves. But we're going to leave them all. Because an inn is just a place that you pass through. He's got mansions made for us, Bubba. He's preparing them even as we speak. So I'm thankful for this inn. And then he went to the innkeeper. And he gave him two pieces of money. Amen. The two pieces of money are, he gave the innkeeper his spirit. And he gave him his word. And he said, you've got my spirit, you've got my word, take care of them. I brought them, and you're the innkeeper, and you take care of them. Amen. And we kind of find out as we get into this business. Did you ever see the picture of this old disgusted looking cowboy? His sweaty cat is bowed low, and he kind of needs a shave, and his eyes are squinting. And he's basically saying, there's a lot of things they didn't tell me when I hired on with this outfit. there's a lot of things your pastor didn't tell you. But you do learn. You do learn. So I've given you my spirit and I give you my word, and if you end up spending any more, don't worry. I got a good retirement plan. When I come back, I'll pay you. I keep good books. Hallelujah. Whatsoever more thou spendest, when I come back, you'll be taken care of. And so here we are. It is the pillar and ground of truth in this world. Truth in this world. That's a big deal. Now, if we were to turn off all the electricity in this place, and the only thing still shining, I mean, the exit lights and everything else was out, was that 8:20 p.m. right there. It was pitch black, except for that. That little 8:20 p.m. would shine. 8:21. I'll wait 60. No, we won't wait. Because the darker it gets, the brighter any light is. Somebody asked Marilyn Vos Savant, who, she's still alive. She has an IQ of 240. 140 is a genius. She married Carl Jarvik. He had an IQ of only 180. He made the Jarvik heart. And she was one of the most read women for years and years and years from the Parade magazine. Some books put out by her. Brilliant, brilliant woman. Somebody asked her one time how it was that when the most westernized of the Middle East nations, Iran, except for Israel, when the Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini took over coming back out of Paris, how he could turn a nation so upside down. How could he do that? But one of the statements she made about him having power, she said, when it's really, 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 really dark and black, a 5-watt bulb gives a lot of light. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The church is more than a 5-watt bulb. That's why... People that, you want to go to church? Oh, I go to church. That's fine. I've been church. Yeah. I'm a member of such and such. Well, you need to come to our place. No. You'll really like it. It's different. Yeah. And so they come to church, and they're in there about 10 minutes, and all of a sudden, that light is so bright. What are they doing? They seem like they're happy to be here. Like, that guy's really happy. These people, they're getting happier by the minute. I've never seen anybody happy at my church. They were happy when it was time to leave, but no. I'm going to tell you, this thing is bright. Do you hear me? This thing is powerful. This thing is rich. This thing is real. This is the real deal. It's the ground and the pillar of the truth. And it's a bright, shining light. And as the lights are going out across our nation and world, if you haven't noticed, it's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. You want a good example of it? Here's a great example of it. Okay? That you guys built a new church. How many other new churches are being built in Hot Springs anywhere? Nada. I live in Southern Cal. It ain't happening. I've got a friend of mine. He's built over 3,500 churches down through the past several decades for all kinds of denominations. The last 3 years, if I got it straight from him last time I talked to him, the only people now that are building churches are One God, Jesus' name, apostolics. The only ones. The only ones. And don't think, as all these people drive down 70 from this Hot Springs area, they know it. They know. Whoa, look, what are they building? Whoa. My goodness, they're building a church. There's a church being built? Churches are closing down. They're shutting their doors. They're selling them for dimes for dollars. What is this that these people are doing? I'm going to tell you, it's the pillar and ground of the truth. And there's a bright light. It's a bright light. It's a bright light. It's a big deal. And I'm going to take it a step further. It doesn't even matter, in a sense, how big the church is. It's a bright light. It's a bright, bright light. I've got a good friend of mine, a young man. He was an evangelist. He and his wife, they got a little boy now, and they're pastoring a church down in Texas. And when I got to meeting him and talking with him and asking him where they came from, how they come about, da-da-da-da. And she said, well, I was in a church in Illinois, south of Chicago, about 40, 50 miles. I said, really? So who pastored it? She said, my grandfather pastored it. I said, oh. And said, so what was it like? She goes, well, it never got very big. One time we got up to 15. And most of the time it was between 8 and 10 or so. And I said, well, what happened to it? She goes, well, when my grandpa died, it just, a lot of family, we just moved, went other places. And I said, but you made it. She goes, yeah, I was raised there. How important was that church to that girl? And she's involved in ministry today. And she's great at what she does. Do you hear me? There's no such thing as an unimportant church. Could be like the man that went up to old brother who's superintendent of Texas forever and ever and ever, Goodrose. And he went up to him and said, Brother Goodrose, when you were a young man, you preached a revival down in Noble, Louisiana. He said, I did. I sure did. How'd that revival go? Not so hot. What happened? Oh, we had some kid get the Holy Ghost. Yeah. He said, let me shake your hand. I'm that kid. He said, what's your name? J.T. Pugh. Or it could be like Nate Wilson was preaching the Texaco camp meeting. He's preaching away and doing his thing. And he got to walking down. He walked down to the far back of the tabernacle. And there's a little woman there, little old woman. He said, are you Edna Capps? She said, yes, I am. He said, follow me if you don't mind. Would you come with me up to the platform? Well, I guess. So he just kept preaching. She was sitting there and he's preaching. After a while, he said, Sister Capps, you used to hold a lot of revivals, didn't you? She said, yes, I did. And I'll tell you how powerful she was. the four Davis boys respected her to the moon and back. Now, buddy, that's a feat. That was a feat. And he said, did you ever hold a revival in a place called Kerman? She said, yeah, I did. Well, why don't you come up here and tell us about it? She goes, what? No, here, tell us about your revival in Kerman. She said, really? He said, yeah, tell us about it. She says, the worst revival I ever had. She said, that place was so dead, it was twice plucked. She said, I prayed, I fasted, I did everything. I did everything known to do. I didn't, so what happened? Oh, some kid got the Holy Ghost, and that was about it. I said, okay, thank you. He said, Sister Capps, I'm the kid that got the Holy Ghost at Kermit. There's just something about this church. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. And you never know what's fixing to come out of it. God is big and God is good and God is powerful. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to tell you something right now. The church is perfect. Even though there's no perfect church. The reason there's no perfect church is because it's got humans in it. And the problem with humans is there's no perfect human. Save one, and his name is Jesus. But he's working on the rest of us because he loves us. And how bad did he want this pillar and ground of truth to be in this earth? How bad did he want it? He wanted it so bad that it, as it were, trust me, he knows how to take care of the universe. And this eternal God who cannot die, his spirit has no flesh and bones, no blood. The spirit came down to a virgin named Mary. She knew it was coming because he sent Gabriel to tell her. And in her womb, this God robed himself in human flesh and came out as a frail, seemingly helpless babe. But he had a name that was above every name. And someday everything that had knees would bend and bow to the name of that baby. And he grew, and he wanted this ground and pillar of the truth to be in this earth so bad that this God who tempts no man and can't be tempted figured out a way he could be in every way tempted, yet without sin. And this God who had no blood figured a way the only innocent blood that ever pumped continually from life to death through a human heart would pour itself out at Calvary, amen, to purchase. It was his purchasing agent to buy you and I, hallelujah. And we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah. And this God who would not, could not die, figured out a way he could taste death for every man so he could get the pillar and ground of the truth in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and throughout this state and throughout this nation. And America's in trouble, but he's got some churches that are not in trouble because they set their face and made up their mind, for me and my house, we're going to live for God. We're going to love this book. We're going to walk and talk with God. We're going to be what God wants us to be. We're going to do what God wants us to do. And that's why he came, and that's why this is so important. There's no perfect church, but God's perfect and he's got a perfect plan. And that he would include us. How precious is that? So here we are. How important is a church? If there'd been one in Sodom and Gomorrah, you'd still be here. When Abraham was told, he said, "Now God, those cities of the plain, those are big cities," and he got, surely God, far be it after thy manner to destroy the righteous with the wicked. How can he bring up to God his manner, his MO, his modus operandi? He's saying, "God, this is not like you." Well, what's he basing that off of? The only thing he had to base it off of was the flood. You didn't destroy everything. You spared righteous. That's so far be it after your manner to destroy the righteous with the wicked. So if there's 50 down there, can I book or paraphrase it? If there's a church of 50, will you spare it? I'll spare it for 50. For lack of 5, you'd kill them? What about 45? I'll go with that. How about 40? I'll do 40. Now, God, please, bear with me. How about 30? I'll spare it for 30. God, please, what about 20? And he's doing the math. Because he's got a nephew there and his wife and daughters. 4 of them. Some of them are married. Probably got kids. He's doing the math. What about 10? If there's a church of 10, would you spare the city? I'll spare it for 10. That's how important a church is to its community. And I'm going to tell you something. You say, "I don't know if that means much." If you lived in California, it'd mean a lot. I find myself reminding God quite often, "God, this state's in trouble. I don't know of a state that could possibly be more in trouble with God than you." Just to give you a hint, every 4 years, California by itself kills more babies than all that died in the Civil War. Do you hear me? So we're in trouble. But I say, "God, there's some good churches here. There's some people that love you. There's some people that mean business. Please, God, keep all that in mind. Keep all that in mind. Keep all that in mind. It's a big deal to be part of the church, amen, of the living God. This place is important to God. Do you understand? Why is it important? What's found? You find things in the church that you can see a little bits of it, smatterings here and there, a little bit, but to find it encompassed, mercy, forgiveness, Holy Ghost, grace. These are things in the church. Love, true family, friends, truth, acceptance, blessings, refuge. Faith is multiplied here. Ooh, hallelujah. There's training, there's counsel, there's wisdom, there's peace, there's rejoicing, there's hope, there's singing, there's gladness. Ooh, there's healing and prayer and worship and righteousness. There's holiness and comfort. The advocate's here. There's elders here. A pastor's here. And a future is here. And it's the only way to get to heaven. Woo! That's why God's got a church in the earth. Thank God for this place. Thank God for the church. I'm closer to being done than you might think. I'm going to ask the musicians to come just so you'll know I'm kind of thinking about this. Listen carefully. Everything else will fail. Everything else will fail. Governments fail. And we're seeing it failing. Societies fail. Institutions Great institutions fail. Great universities. Do you understand that the men that started Princeton University were the same men that on the backs was the first great awakening in America? Harvard was theological. Yale, all of these. What do we got now? It's upside down. It's inside out. Common sense is thrown by the wayside. Financial institutions fail. I'm going to give you a quote. This isn't exact, but it's very close. Democracies dissolve into chaos. From that chaos comes tyranny. Tyrannies in time turn into monarchies. Monarchies in time become aristocracies. And aristocracies in time become democracies. And democracies dissolve into chaos. 400 BC, a man named Plato said that. And I think he's pretty spot on. But the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. Now, I am going to tell you something. You do not want to be in a local church that's starting to whack out. Trust me. Take my word for it. Don't experience it, though some of you already have. Amen. And I'm going to tell you how big a deal it is that a church has its act together. God visited 7 churches of Asia. And to one of the greatest churches to me, and when you read it, I know your works, your labor, your patience. You can't bear them which are evil. You've tried them and say they're apostles or not. You found them liars. You've borne. You got patience. For my namesake, you've labored and you've not fainted. Do you hear me? That's one good church. Except something had dimmed, something had hardened. Something had got cold. You can be seated. Something went bad. Their first love went cold. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. God doesn't want all your money. He does not want all your time. But he does want to be number one. You got to love him first and foremost. And when that includes giving bunches of time, you do it. When that includes giving, even if it's just 2 mites you got left, you do it. You do whatever, because he's going to be number one. And somehow in their processes of doing so many things right, their love for him was growing cold. And let me tell you something. When your love for him grows cold, your love for one another will grow cold. It's a big deal with God. And he said, so I'm telling you, you better remember you have fallen. If you don't love me, you've fallen. And you repent and you need to get back to where you were, where I'm number one. Or else, I will pull out your candlestick. Oh, he's just kidding. No, he wasn't kidding. What he means is, if you're not going to be what I want you to be, I'd rather you shut the doors. And if you won't get it together, I'll shut the doors for you. He means what he says, and he says what he means. He gave him time. He worked with him. There it is. In Malachi, he said, who's among you that'll shut the doors? He's talking about the temple. Pergamos, get it together, Pergamos, or those people that are not right, I'm going to fight against them with the words of my mouth. Laodicea, you're rich, increased, you don't need anything, you don't realize you're poor, blind, wretched. If you don't get it together, I'll spit you out. But there's the Philadelphian church, the pillar and ground. These things saith he that's holy, true, has the key of David. When I open, nobody shuts. When I shut, nobody opens. I know your works. I've set before you an open door. Do you know what that means? When God sets an open door for you, how huge is that? And when I open it, ain't nobody gonna be able to shut it. Amen. So I'm almost done. But we're gonna go back for just a couple of minutes to the innkeeper. Because there's three things God gives us as a church. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the man of God. And if you don't think the man plays a huge role, how many churches have we seen? Right word, started out with the right spirit, the wrong man brought it down to nothing. So while we're celebrating what God's done here to the saints of this church, I would highly recommend you celebrate. Thank God for our pastor. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for our pastor. Let's all stand. This is his word, if you please, to the ministry. Be strong and of a good courage. Unto the people you'll divide an inheritance of the land. Only be strong and courageous. Observe to do according to this book, if you please. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Meditate day and night. I've commanded you, be strong and of a good courage. And so, Simon Peter, he said, Simon, feed my sheep. Make sure you feed my sheep. And he caught it. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint. Take it willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Not as a lord over God's heritage, but as an example to the flock. Because the chief shepherd is going to appear. And we'll receive a crown of glory. What a sweet combination. God gave you this hill. God gave you this building. God gave you this word. God gave you his spirit. God gave you his promises. And God gave you this man. Ooh, how precious is this? We're done, except for what we came to do. I would like for every saint where you are, some of you on the front row may have to turn around. But everybody, please put your hands somewhere on these pews. I would like for the ministers that are up here, if you would, just step over here for a second. We're going to pray for this baptistry. Come on, brethren. And while we're praying for that baptistry, precious saints of God and ministers out there, you're going to pray for those pews. We know they're going to have to put more pews in here. We want every single seat filled. Amen. And they'll have to find other seating for them. We're going to pray. We're praying, God, fill every seat Bring new seats. Fill every seat. You see this baptistry. Lord God, great God, let soul after soul after soul after soul in a continuous flood, let them come, God, and be baptized in your name, having repented of their sins and then be filled with your Holy Ghost. Now, I would like for the ministers out there and the ministers up here, I'd like some of you to go down and come around the front of this beautiful pulpit. I want the ministry, we're going to come and we're going to pray for this pulpit. But while we're doing that, Brother Moats, you come stand right here. Bishop Holmes, I want you to come stand behind him. And brethren, let's gather around this pulpit. Brother Holmes, in just a moment, is going to pray for this man, for this pulpit. We're all going to pray for this pulpit. This is the pillar and ground of the truth. The mighty, holy, precious truth of God will flow over, around, through this pulpit into all corners of this city. Brother Holmes is going to pray the final prayers for all of this and for this dedication.
Reach your hand in this direction. Let's bleed together. Righteous God, we call upon you. We call upon you. Knowing how feeble we are and how much we need you, we pray over the pastor of this church tonight. We ask you to give him strength. Do for him what you did for Solomon. Give him wisdom and understanding, exceeding much and largeness of heart, God. We believe you to use him for your glory, your honor, oh God, as he feeds the sheep of God, as he leads the flock of God. May the anointing and the power and the glory of God rest upon him and his wonderful family and wife tonight, God. Let all things be done for the glory of the Lord. We believe you tonight, God. Let the glorious truth of Acts 2:38 forever stand. Repenting of your sins, being baptized in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. God, may this be a holiness apostolic, Jesus' name, tongue talking, out running, devil stomping, Holy Ghost filled church. We believe you, God. Give him that kind of wisdom to lead this church. For your glory and for your honor, oh God, we ask it in Jesus' name.
Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. All across this house. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray for the generations to come. Come on, pray for your pastor. Pray for your city right now. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, let there be revival all across the land. Oh, hallelujah. Let truth prevail. Oh, let it be a beacon of light in every city, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So thankful to have a pastor. Amen. You got to have a pastor. It won't work without a pastor. Amen. I'm overwhelmed. Amen. But I got one more request, is that I want my pastor to anoint me with oil in front of everybody in this building. I want to pray for revival in this city. Amen. I don't want one idle word to be spoken. Time is so short. So much work to do. So many people to reach. We need the anointing of God upon our life. And every time people got out of submission, trouble always happened in their life. Amen. And every time people get in submission, the windows of heaven are open. I feel the Holy Ghost so powerfully. I tell you, don't rise up against your man of God. Don't let the enemy put something in your heart that... your hand toward us as we pray in the name of
this confirms what I felt earlier to do. I certainly wasn't going to say it to him. It's just amazing what God has already done and what God is going to do through a dedicated man. Yes. And let me say, a dedicated wife. Yes. And a great family. Yes. I saw children up here tonight, all kind of connections to the Motes family. But Brother Motes, my mind goes back to a little woman that put you all in a car and right by herself when her husband wouldn't come. I think about you ladies that are discouraged. Don't stop. If your husband don't want to go to church, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't give up. This is what happens when you won't give up. This is what takes place. The anointing with all.